Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Save big on your water and energy bills with Navien tankless water heaters. Provide instant and endless hot water, spa-like comfort. Navien makes it easy to go tankless. Tanklessmadesimple.com, tanklessmadesimple.com. He's played 10 years in the NFL, 9 in Tampa. He's been a Pro Bowler for a majority of them, and he'll still play. In fact, Gerald McCoy said not too long ago, Tampa would be, I'd love to go back to Tampa. Isn't that funny now? Everybody wants to play in Tampa now. Gerald McCoy is joining at the Oklahoma Sooner. Gerald McCoy, looks like it's a recruiting billboard right there. Makes me want to go live in Norman, Oklahoma. So, did you, you know, it's funny about this. Levante David, your guy, and he just got paid. And you're a pro athlete that roots for other pro athletes. Like, Dak got a big contract. And I asked Michael Vick about an hour ago. I said, when you sign that big contract, is there ever any jealousy in the room? Now, Levante didn't sign that big of a contract. But you got a lot of money in that Tampa Bay locker room now, Gerald. And some guys aren't going to get theirs, and some guys going to get franchised. Do you worry at all about chemistry issues with that stuff?
Nah, not when you got the right leader. And I believe that Tom proved that he is that. And when you win in anything, and it's a group effort, you grow together, you get closer. And I believe they've really grown into a true family there. So I think everybody's going to be happy for everybody and going to understand the nature of the business. I mean, if you look at what Tom came into, he came into a team with two all-pro wide receivers. Neither one of them made the Pro Bowl this year. But I believe that's Tom telling them, hey, this is what we're going to do. Your numbers may decrease, but you will win. And the proof is in the pudding. Tom gave them a formula, and they won. It worked. So I believe that everybody's just going to stick to that formula. And it's not going to be about one individual. It's going to be about the group. It's going to be about the team. And I believe they'll be just fine.
Aren't you a little surprised, though? With all those alphas, it worked so well and so fast. There wasn't even there's no reason to even argue it. It was by like November, you're like, oh my. There was never a problem, right?
Yeah, it switched really fast, man. And just from what I've heard from some of my friends there, man, Tom just, after they lost to Kansas City in season, Tom just told everybody, hey, this thing's going to turn around and we're going to win it. And he made like a declaration, like, yeah, we're going to win this thing. And I believe it's just his experience of knowing what they had, knowing they just had to go back to the drawing board. Everybody needed to take a deep breath, take a break. I mean, they had the bye week. I think they had the last week of a bye week that you could have.
Yeah.
And they probably were just worn out, needed a break. You know, everybody came back healthy and they got on a run. I mean, I truly believe this is what I believe it was. I believe that Bruce and Tom and they figured out what it is that Tom wants to do. And Tom said, hey, if I can do this, which is play action, which is motions, which is establish the run, then you'll see a big difference. The defense was fine. You know, the defense was always in a great place. They were great last year. They were top five last year. But once Tom got to establish what it is that he does. When you bring guys in from other teams, you got to allow them to do what it is that you brought them in to do and not try and change them. And I believe that there was a up and down all year about figuring out a balance. But once they figured it out, they came out at bye week and was smoking.
Chris Godwin's going to get franchised. Tell me how pro athletes think of the franchise tag.
I'll be allowed to tell you that they like it. you know, Chris, he wants to win. Of course he wants to win, but it's still a business, and he's worked his whole life to get to this point. He has a Super Bowl. I can almost guarantee you he would love to win another one, but I can almost also guarantee you that he would love to have the finances that have set his family up for years to come,
right.
You know, for generations. So I don't think he's hurt by it because he's going to make a lot of money. But I don't believe that most athletes like the franchise tag. They want some stability, and the financial portion of that is a big part of it.
So Dak signed a lot of money, 40 large a year, last 3 years of his contract. I think he's a good player. I think it's a great contract for a good player. I'd rather pay my, you know, Mahomes or, you know, there are certain guys I'm just going to pay, you know, like right now, Shaq Barrett, if I had him on my team as a pass rusher, I'd have to pay him a lot of money.
Right.
What did you make of the Dak contract?
Dak got paid what he was worth. You know, a lot of people use this term worth. You worth whatever your franchise says you are. You know, if a franchise doesn't pay you, then they don't believe you're worth that. But some other team may pay you that. Dak got paid what he was worth. You know, that sometimes it's more than just the on the grass on game day for a team. You know, and if you talk to any of those guys in that locker room, they'll tell you, man, they wouldn't want to follow anybody else. You know, they had all these speculations about Russell Wilson coming in, or should they draft a guy, or should they? No, that's not the type of league we in now. I mean, I was listening to the show before, and you mentioned what Tampa's doing with loading up, and all these other teams, they're loading up, man. I mean, like you said, the Rams, they went and got Matthew Stafford. They went to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, but they lost. So they said, you know what, we need to get Matthew Stafford. A franchise quarterback is hard to come by.
Yeah.
But a leader is even harder to come by. And I believe Dak got paid what he's worth. I'm happy for him. And I love to see great people win, man. Think about what Dak's been through over the last year. He lost his brother. Okay? He was quiet for all that whole span. He had to go through the whole contract talk for all that time. And then he gets franchised. Okay? He comes in the season. You know, he's putting up historic numbers, and then he has a horrific injury. And now everybody's like, man, what's going to happen? And then the final day that he can get paid, he gets paid, and he gets historically paid. I just love to see great people win, and he deserves it.
You said something really interesting, Gerald McCoy. You said it's not just about what you do on the grass. And
right.
And my dad told me that one time. My dad said years ago when I was a kid, I remember this. He said, most employment decisions will be made when you're not in the room. Be mm-hmm. a good person. You're going to get hired or fired, and they're going to be raising their hands. You're not going to be in that room. And in your career, does being a quality teammate, you is it 30% of it, 20% of it? Like, how important is it?
For me, being a good teammate is about 70%.
Wow.
Yeah, it's about 70% for me, because being a good teammate doesn't just mean you're a friendly guy or you look out for your brother. Being a good teammate means you show up on time. It means that outside of the building, you're making sure your body's right. So when you come in, what you do doesn't affect me and my family at home. When you come in, I know that when you go home, I know you're studying. And when you come in, I know I don't have to worry about you when we step across those white lines on Sunday. So being a good teammate isn't always just, oh, I can go sit in the locker and talk to him. Some people are quiet. Not everybody's talkers. Not everybody's a leader. And if you can't be a leader, be the best follower you can be. But let me be able to count on you to do your job and every aspect that is. Don't be out here causing trouble. Don't be doing this and doing that. Let you be, when we put this puzzle together, your piece, let it be solid. You know, sometimes you get puzzle pieces, they kind of bend a little bit. You got to make them fit.
Right.
Nah, be the puzzle piece and solid. And that's what being a great teammate is to me. The other 30%, it'll take care of itself. You doing that.
How come you and Lavonte David were so close? Why was he a great teammate to you?
Well, me and Lavonte are brothers. So we hung out a lot off the field. And I just seen he was special from the jump. And talking to Sapp, he and Brooks said that that's what made them special, is that bond they had. And that's what allowed both of them to flourish. He knew he had a guy behind him that had his back, and Brooks knew he had a guy in front of him that had his back. You got to learn each other in that aspect. And I sat down and talked to Tay about that one day. And from that day forward, we just got closer and closer and closer until we became family, man. And he's my youngest son, he's his godfather. So I'm happy he got paid. He's in a great spot, man. And I understand people love Tom Brady, but I don't believe that defense would have been the same if Tay wasn't there. Me personally.
Oh, you're right.
That's just the type of leader he is.
Yeah. I love having you on the show. You know, you're always welcome. You can wear your Oklahoma stuff. I'm a USC guy. I'm not offended by it. You almost went to USC, you know.
I did. I did almost go to USC.
But then you didn't.
I didn't.
We could have used a defensive tackle.
Yeah, yeah. But I love my school. I always will.
Should.
It's the greatest school in the country.
Should. Great school.
Absolutely.
Gerald McCoy. Good talking to you again, man. I love your your thoughts.
I love coming to see my family, man. You know, my distant cousins. Yeah. You enjoy.
I like that. I like being. Yeah. I like having another family. I got a lot of kids. I like having more people in my family.
You got extra cousins, though, Colin?
I do now. I do now. Gerald, good seeing you.
All right, thanks.
Played briefly for Dallas. You know what's great about him is that he thinks about stuff.
Yes.
When you ask Gerald a question,
he is not quick to answer.
He's just going to take his time. He's going to answer it, and he's thought about it before. Just the whole way he talks. As he talks, he's always looking over. He's just thinking about stuff. He's kind of like,
it's good to be a thinker.
He's a thinker. That's a
People
thinker.
People are not that fond of thinking anymore.
I was going to ask him about the whole bruised apple thing. I got missed on that.
We have to show that Michael Vick video.
Well,
also.
I don't have time now. Okay,
well, not right now, but I'm saying you teased it. Listen,
this show,
earlier. This
isn't one of these nonsensical bits. We got nothing but 3 hours info over here. Sometimes I don't even have time for 30 seconds of non-planned material over here. You're talking about, this is like...
I just want to pay off the audience who teased it a lot.
All right, we'll see if we can get to that.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's your turn, right?
Yes,
it's Joy's turn. Joy?
No. Turn on the news.
Disorganized.
This is the Herdline News.
It's almost like I'm drunk in the middle of the show.
So the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame announced its 14 finalists for this year's class yesterday.
Ooh, I want to hear this.
The group consists of 9 players, 5 coaches, including 9 first-time finalists, highlighted by Paul Pierce and Chris Bosh.
What's Bill Russell
the
doing?
The final, as a coach, he was inducted as a player in 1975.
Okay.
The final class will be revealed on May 16th, so in just a few months. And obviously some great names on there that are on the finalists for the Hall of Fame. So,
well, I think
Paul Pierce, Ben Wallace, Chris Webber.
Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer.
Chris Bosh, yes. Michael Cooper, Lauren Jackson, Marianne Stanley, Yolanda Griffith, Ben Wallace, Marcus Johnson, Tim Hardaway, Michael Cooper, Rick Adelman. So I like the Hall of Fame. I think that the Basketball Hall of Fame is probably third on the list. So we go NFL,
what's
baseball.
Different? They do officials. They do everything.
Yeah, well, basketball is just the Basketball Hall of Fame. So it's college, it's everything. It's all of basketball. Whereas NFL, you know, it's a college football Hall of Fame, and then the NFL is just the NFL.
You could put an agent in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I mean, seriously. David Falk?
Yeah, so it's just a different approach to
were
it.
You,
but I like that basketball does it this way. It doesn't feel the same way that the NFL feels.
Which is sometimes stupid.
Yes, but because at the end of the day, while it's a great prestigious honor to be a Hall of Famer,
Yeah. It's
a museum. It's honoring the greatest players to participate or participants in that particular league or sport in the case of Basketball Hall of Fame. What I don't like is when it starts to become about the writers and the media that are selecting.
Well, the Football Hall of Fame, no player votes in it, so I'm right there. I'm not.
I think they do have player voters now.
First of all.
But it is mostly media, and then we all know what goes on with the Baseball Hall
first
of Fame.
First of all, I don't have an answer here, and I don't want to catch you off guard. Didn't Ray Guy just get in, the punter for Oakland? And that for years and years, he did. I'm not sure I'm right on this. If you grew up watching Ray Guy punt for the Raiders, it took him till 2014 to get in.
Yeah.
I always remember Ray Guy was the greatest player in the NFL for 15 years at his position. And I'm including quarterbacks. Ray Guy, there was no second best punter in the league than Ray Guy. And for years, it's like he's a punter.
Well, it's kind of a system, too. Like, you only have a certain amount of guys go in per, cycle.
Why? Because
they have a production and they have it has to be, it's in Canton, Ohio. So it's not like you can have, 2 million people come to that town celebrate the 45 people that you're inducting into the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
You want to give everyone their time to have their speeches. Like, there is a bit of a logistic play here.
I don't get into the Hall of Fame because of logistics.
I am not the gatekeeper. I am just saying the facts, and that is how it goes. Like, whether it's right or it's wrong, you're right. He should have gotten in sooner. But there are logistics at play there as well.
Tom Brady can't get in this year. Why? Your speech doesn't fit into the teleprompter for the hour it's on a network.
It's a whole weekend of events.
Sounds dumb.
It's why they expanded it this year, because they wanted to include the guys from last year, like our Jimmy Johnson, who needs his day, who wants to have his day with his family.
Well,
and his
the
speech
fact that it took that long for Jimmy is...
I agree. But he's in now, and we're very happy for him because he is a Hall of Famer. So Michigan continues to stand by Jim Harbaugh as their head football coach. He received a contract extension to stay through 2025. And despite a 2-4 record in 2020, athletic director Ward Manuel is not putting pressure on Harbaugh right away. He said they're willing to be patient and think long term, and that they have not given him a minimum win requirement for 2021. So his contract keeps him through 2025. It reduces his base salary to $4 million in 2021 from slightly over $8 million in 2020, but it allows for him to add up to $3.475 million in bonuses each season. His record at Michigan is 49-22. I know Michigan alumni probably don't love this because they feel like they should be winning national championships, and they feel like they are in the same space as an Alabama.
His records also, he took over a dumpster fire. So consider he didn't get like Nick Saban Alabama quality.
I think Michigan is a fine program.
It is.
And they're very history, and I don't mean fine like it's fine. I mean like it's a fine program. Like it's a great school. It has great tradition, wonderful alumni, very proud place and experience.
Yep.
And you should also balance your expectations based off of all of those things that you hold so prestigious. Like it is a, they focus on that academics there.
Yeah, it
does make it difficult to win a national championship.
And it's not a city that just lives and dies with one thing. It's like, so the commitment's there, but in Norman, Oklahoma, there's one game in town. In Ann Arbor, there's a lot of stuff. It's like Austin, Texas.
I've never been to Ann Arbor, so I can't speak to it.
It's beautiful. It's a wetter, colder version of Austin, Texas, where there's food and music and festivals. It's different.
I just think the expectations need to be a little bit more manageable for Jim Harbaugh. Finally, Patrick Mahomes and his fiancée, Brittany, welcomed their daughter, Sterling, in February. And his alma mater is already ready to put in the work to recruit her. Texas Tech sent Mahomes a daughter a letter of intent.
She's won.
For a soccer scholarship just 2 days after she was born.
Oh, okay.
She's not won yet. She was just born in February. So she is, I don't have the exact date of her birth, but February, it's March 10th. So she's maybe a month old. But yeah, they're offering her a soccer scholarship. And this is smart, actually, because his wife, Brittany, went to the University of Texas and played soccer there. So Texas Tech is trying to
keep the talent to their house
at Patrick's school.
Rolled around the crib, and they saw some good movement and the cone drill for the baby. And they said, we're going to offer.
I think it's cute.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
All right,
news.
Dave wants that next, the coach. The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marquette, Georgetown after us. Big East tournament. Stick around after our show. No SFY today. Big East basketball. Dave Wonstadt, Bears Dolphins head coach, great storyteller. Jimmy Johnson's friend, Cowboys, Super Bowls, national titles, joining us live. Well, I got to ask you a couple of questions on this Dak thing. So, it's such a big contract. When you were coaching, did a player ever get a huge contract and you felt it changed the room a little bit, just the locker room a little bit?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick story, and it relates to Joy Taylor, when her brother Jason's contract was up at the Dolphins. I remember sitting in the room, and Mr. Huizenga, obviously the owner of the Dolphins, a smart businessman, just like Jerry Jones, one of the smartest guys, didn't pretend to know, get into football much, but he understood numbers, and he wanted to win. He understood winning. And he got up out of his chair, and we were – you know, and obviously I was pushing to get Jason signed, and he jumped out of his chair and he looked me in the eye and he said, "You give me one good reason why we should pay Jason Taylor this money." And I said, "I got one good reason. Do you want to have a chance to win the Super Bowl?" And he said, "Hell yes." And he got up and slammed the door and said, "Pay him." So, I mean, I think it all starts with that. I mean, if Jerry didn't believe and Mike McCarthy didn't believe, and there's pro personnel who Stephen Jones, if the organization didn't believe that Dak could be the guy to get him to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl, they wouldn't have done it. I mean, we all criticize Jerry for, you know, some of his, whether it's drafting or coaching, but the guy is smart, a businessman. We all witnessed that, as there is in the country. So he knows value, and that doesn't bother me at all. And he's a Jerry guy. Jerry loves, you know, he wants to be on the sidelines. He's in practice. He wants his players coming up and communicating with him. That's just how he runs his organization. And Dak has been his guy from day one. So I think that makes sense. And I tell you what, morale also. There's something, I used the Jason Taylor example. When we signed Jason to his first big contract, boy, there was a shot in the arm for the whole locker room. I think that's what's going to happen with the Cowboys, because Dak has proven he's a leader. The players are going to be excited for him, and it may give them an opportunity to go out there and get a few free agents to be part of this thing that maybe they wouldn't have if they would have gone another direction.
By the way, I was thinking about you the other day. Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll are struggling, and my takeaway is just get over it. Sometimes not everybody gets along. Did you ever have a player that drove you nuts, but he was great and you just dealt with it?
They were all defensive guys. And we'd forget about it the next day. By practice, it was an issue that was over.
Yeah.
But no, I'm kind of mystified by this whole Russell Wilson thing. I know it's hot topic in Chicago. I still do a lot of stuff up there, and you know, they changed offensive coordinators. They made a change from Brian Schottenheimer. So
yeah.
You know, I mean, to me, I thought that would be, if there was an issue with play calling or philosophy on offense, you would think if you change your offensive coordinator that's, from Pete Carroll's standpoint, that's making a statement, hey, we're going to do some new things and some different things that'll clear up this issue. So whether it happens or not, I think it's very, very a small chance. But I'll tell you what, Chicago would love for it to happen.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Washington is a lot like football teams you coached in Chicago and Miami. Great defense, defensive head coach, winning games, got to a playoff, but they need a go-to quarterback. You got Mariota, Darnold, Deshaun, Garoppolo. If you ran, and you never got a good quarterback, you never got the great quarterback. If you were Washington today and there's four or five guys out, which one interests you the most?
Well, it depends on who you can get. I think there's something, even though Sam Darnold's numbers are not much better than Mitch Trubisky, to be quite honest with you. I know our Chicago listeners don't want to hear that, but it's a fact. I think that Sam, you know, he's a young guy. I mentioned this. You know, Troy, we were there with Troy. He really blossomed like his third year. You know, Terry Bradshaw, I was in Pittsburgh coaching at the university. Terry, it was like his fourth or fifth year when he really came into his own. So I think Sam Darnold may have some upside to him. And boy, if you got him in there and coached him up and had a good supporting cast, he might surprise some people.
It's funny how many people Tampa's getting, and Dallas pays a bunch of people, and the Rams pay people, and the Packers pay nobody. Do you think sometimes not having an owner hurts them, Green Bay?
Yes, probably to some degree. Absolutely. I think when you look at Green Bay, I mean, right now they're looking and saying, you know, we had three running backs. We all know the Aaron Jones, but we had Jamal Williams and we had A.J. Dillon. We had three running backs in the top 100 rushers in the National Football League. And obviously we know about Aaron Rodgers, and their defense ended up, what, fourth or fifth in the league in defense. So I think Green Bay right now is feeling pretty good. It's not, you know, to some degree they laid it off on Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator, and made a change there. But overall, I think they feel pretty good with an upcoming draft and some money to sign some free agents. So I think they're sitting pretty good. And look at that division. I mean, you know, who's the biggest competition? Obviously, it's probably the Vikings. But if you're a Packer fan right now, you're optimistic for the future.
Listen, there's a lot of people hitting the market, Dave. We got about 3 minutes. That would Kenny Galladay, Hunter Henry, like good players. Really good players are getting released. Did you like free agents, or would you rather draft and develop?
Oh, you know, I always believed that the real good free agents, if they were out there, there was a reason. and really, I mean, we got burned on a few guys early in Dallas when we were, you know, trying to get better players. And then we kind of figured out that, you know, Reggie White was a free agent at Green Bay. Brett Favre. Obviously, they got him. I mean, but not many of them. I mean, most of those free agents, the team that they're with currently knows a lot more about them on the field, off the field, whatever it might be, than what you're going to find out about them until you sign them. So going to draft, I mean, nowadays young players are playing at an earlier rate than they ever have. If you can get those draft picks and get some good players, there's nothing like going the youth way and building from the ground up.
All right. Well, drafts in over a month. Urban Meyer now in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
We got a minute left. I think he's going to work. Do you?
Oh, absolutely.
Did I lose him? I think we lost him. Well, maybe it was a big storm in Naples. You know, I don't know. Naples, Florida's got rough weather.
It looks sunny.
You know, he told me during the break, I got buddies from Pittsburgh and Chicago. I've been nothing but cigars and golfing for the last few days.
I feel like a lot of people have picked up golf over the past year.
Apparently, it's surging.
I mean, according to... You can be outside, it's exercise, you know,
for
fresh
a long
air,
time, it was
sunshine.
One of the only places I took up golfing.
Yeah.
I mean, again, if you have 30 free minutes, you never have to worry about a break-in at your home again. SimplySafeColin.com. Get a free security camera. Also, supplement I take every day, powerful ingredients backed by science. Go to mdriveformen.com. mdriveformen.com, free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. No, I mean, golf is a total resurgence. Two things have changed golf in my life. Tiger Woods for a while. Like, you watched Tiger and you went and bought clubs. And the pandemic, which is you couldn't go anywhere.
Yep.
And literally, they were closing trails, biking trails, hiking trails. But I started golfing in the summer in Utah, and there's something about that sport. You can give it up. It's like riding the bicycle. You can give it up for 10 years. If you go out and have three good shots, you fall in
right
love.
Back in.
It's a crazy sport, like nothing else. Play a crap round for 4 hours. Final two shots are great. You're like, love this game. This is the most fun I've ever had. All right, for joining everybody. Big East basketball is around the corner. Big East basketball, Marquette and Georgia. These tournaments around the corner, live in LA, it is The Herd.